We are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program, too. Charles Robinson is my guest. Charles, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Good. Great to have you back. A lot to cover, but let me start right here with the Thursday night matchup. You've got the Rams and the Seahawks. Why don't we start with the Rams? How do you think L.A. shows up after giving up 55 at home to Tampa Bay?
Oh, man. Well, I think this is, to me, probably the classic overcorrection game where the Rams go back, look at how they structure. I don't think they got to Todd Gurley in that loss to Tampa. I think it was like the 14th offensive play before they actually ran the ball. And, I think the Rams know, and particularly when you judge Todd Gurley's demeanor at this point, that he wants more of a workload than he's getting. And I think, you know, that's a game that got out of hand. I think Jared Goff threw, 68 pass attempts. I don't think in any NFL equation, when you throw 68 pass attempts, it's ever a good thing. So I think that you're going to see a Rams team that's going to come out and say, look, we're going to have to run the ball. We've got to balance this out. And maybe this idea of not stacking as many carries on Todd Gurley, maybe we've taken that a little too far at this point. But Seattle, this is not a game to mess around with. I mean, Seattle, to me, if you've looked at, the first quarter of the season, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll says this is the best Russell Wilson has ever played in his career, which is saying something considering he's probably got fewer weapons now, at his disposal. This, to me, is absolutely a Thursday night measurement game. One of these two teams is going to come out of there, and you're probably going to look at that team, whichever wins, and says that might be the NFC's Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah, generally Thursday night's not much to see for a lot of different reasons, but this is a really critical matchup and a good game. I like that too. Charles Robinson joining us. Charles, what about the Broncos? They're 0-4 and they're heading to face the Chargers on Sunday. How big of a mess is Denver right now?
This is careening out of control. And I think for John Elway, there's no power check for John Elway in the Denver Broncos franchise. A lot of that has to do with the lack of, a unified ownership since Pat Bowlen passed away. And, he's now looking at Vic Fangio, staring at 0-4, and he's been through Gary Kubiak. He's been through John Fox, which ended really badly. He's been through, Vance Joseph, which wasn't a good ending. And now he's staring at Vic Fangio, who was supposed to finally be the guy who got it right. And it's 0-4. You've got defensive players who are frustrated. Chris Harris makes the remark leaving the locker room after the last loss, they have only got 13 more weeks. When someone says, I've only got 13 more weeks, they have that like number in their head in late September. That's pretty frightening, for a franchise like the Denver Broncos. And I have to wonder, if this continues to spiral out of control, I think you're going to see other NFL teams start knocking on John Elway's door and saying, hey, you got a lot of pieces here that are tradable commodities, Von Miller, Chris Harris, maybe some of these other guys. Are you willing to maybe shed some of these older veteran players? Because if this goes down a hole here, considering you've got Joe Flacco at quarterback and, like I said, some aging defensive pieces, Denver might be your next teardown team in the NFL, maybe unexpectedly.
Charles Robinson is joining us. Where does that leave John Elway then, right? Like if this were any other front office or any other city, he'd be getting so much heat. I mean, right. Is there going to be a time when he gets that kind of scrutiny, or is he virtually bulletproof in that town?
I can't think of the last general manager ever in the NFL who got five coaches. So he's been through four. He's on his fourth coach. I can't think of an NFL general manager who has ever gifted an opportunity to hire a fifth coach. But again, who's there to question John Elway? I think, while the Broncos might protest this, the reality is I think John Elway is the owner of the Broncos. Like he's in terms of action, in terms of the ability to run the franchise, Joe Ellis there is technically John Elway's boss, but Joe Ellis isn't going to step in front of John Elway. He brought two Super Bowls there as a player. He brought another as a general manager, and now he can't get the quarterback situation settled down for the long term. He has not been able to find the right head coach. Until there's someone in that organization who takes the controls and ownership and turns around and says to John, you're on the clock, I think he can continue to make the mistakes that he's going to make. The only thing that could change it is fans not showing up. I think if you saw a dramatic curtail in terms of ticket buying, maybe that's what moves the needle there. But I don't think John's going anywhere. He's going to continue to be allowed to make mistakes.
Charles Robinson, my guest. You know, that point about the quarterback is really something. You got one of the greatest quarterbacks ever who can't find a quarterback. You had a conversation with then Broncos coach Vance Joseph, and he made the point that if you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to do anything. And not just because you don't have a quarterback, but because the guys, the players know you don't have a quarterback. What was your takeaway from the conversation? And then how much does that impact the locker room when you don't have a quarterback and everybody knows it?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. That was a conversation to have with Vance last year, and you know, he admitted, you know, what they had brought in Case Keenum, they were feeling pretty good about it. And Vance said, look, when you have a quarterback in here and there are guys looking at the situation saying, let's be realistic here, that's not a guy we're going to win a Super Bowl with, or that's not the sort of the long-term answer, that's not the guy we're building around. He said, players aren't dummies. Like, they know what the situation is, and they know that they're entering into a season where it's going to be difficult to achieve this goal you're setting for them. And he says, look, even us as coaches, we kind of know that. And I thought it was a pretty interesting, you know, thing for Vance Joseph to admit. And then Case Keenum didn't work out, and Vance Joseph ends up losing his job. Well, here you are with Joe Flacco. And again, what was interesting to me is when I went through there in training camp, I already had people who I had dinner with a Broncos staffer, and he admitted to me, he said, look, Joe is what he is. Like, he's not going to be a huge up arrow guy. We're not going to, you know, set the world on fire offensively. Well, guess what? You have all these defensive players practicing against Joe Flacco, knowing, hey, this isn't the future here. What are we doing? That's the question that gets asked, and it only gets louder when you fall into an 0-4 hole. And I think right now, Von Miller, Chris Harris, a number of these guys are sitting there going, what are we doing? What's the future of this franchise? And hey, look at my career. I'm on the clock right now. I only have a few years left.
Charles Robinson joining us. That's not a good place to be. Now, what about Jacksonville? Jacksonville knows that Jalen Ramsey does not want to be there. The owner just said, we're not going to move him. Where do things stand with him right now? And do you think he's going to finish the year in Jacksonville or someplace else?
Is he ever going to practice at this point in
that
Jacksonville?
That too.
Once again, the back injury that you know, is keeping him out of practice. You know, there's a whole lot of subtext there. Here's a guy who's asked repeatedly now for a trade, said publicly, I still want to be traded. And then, you know, has now missed practice due to first an illness, then this back tightness, then the birth of a second child. Now the back is coming into play again. And I think this is coming to a head because at some point the coaching staff, Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin, obviously in the front office there, someone's going to sit down with Jalen Ramsey and they're going to say, look, we believe you're healthy. And at some point this becomes conduct detrimental to the team, where you're holding yourself out, you know, of practice without any kind of a medical situation that we can prove, you know, that you should be on the field. At some point, you're going to have these two sides. Something's going to break here. And Shad Khan, the owner, has to come to grips with, he may not want to trade Jalen Ramsey, but Jalen Ramsey has come out and said, I don't want to sign an extension here. I don't want to be here. I want to go somewhere else. And Shad Khan clearly does not want to trade him, because I've talked to a number of teams that spoke with the Jaguars. They said, hey, we thought there was an opportunity to get him. Even for the two first-round picks they were asking for, there was some kind of an infrastructure for a trade here. But now Shad Khan's squashed all of that completely. I still believe that when the trade deadline comes around, if we are where we are now, Jalen Ramsey's not practicing, causing problems and frustrating the coaching staff, Shad Khan's going to have to, you know, move this guy at some point.
Charles Robinson breaking down the NFL with us once again. Charles, what do you make? I'm moving through this pretty quickly, but what do you make and what do you think Khalil Mack is going to do on Sunday? How do you think he shows up against the Raiders, and how ugly could that get?
There's no player in the world who wants to crush John Gruden more than Khalil Mack. Like, he could talk about the trade and it was a business decision and, hey, I thought I'd finish my career as a Raider and all these things. But I think it hurt, you know, Khalil Mack when he was dealt to the Chicago Bears. I think he felt like, especially when John Gruden came out and said some of these things about, we don't think we can pay a player the kind of money that Chicago was willing to pay him. There's certain things that we look at in terms of like foundational cornerstones, and clearly Khalil Mack didn't fit into that. First off, Derek Carr, not the most mobile guy on the face of the earth. I mean, he's okay athletically. He's a pretty good athlete as a quarterback. But Khalil Mack's going to get to him. And I think this is one of those games where, even though, you know, he's got a friendship with certain guys that remain on the Raiders, he's dialing it up. And I would not be surprised if this is one of those games where we see Khalil Mack just explode. 3-4 sacks, absolute, you know, prove it kind of a game for him. And I would expect him after this kind of a game, if he can achieve that, he's going to chirp a little bit about John Gruden.
Oh, no. I think that Khalil Mack likes Carr. I think they're friends, but I think he hates Gruden way more than he likes Carr, and he's going to get there and he's going to make his point. I agree. Listen, let me ask you about, before you go, Mitchell Trubisky. Like, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, of course, were famously available when the Bears selected Trubisky, but you've made the point that Trubisky has already moved into the class of Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. What do you mean by that?
Well, you're sitting here and you took this guy, obviously number one overall, and I think, you know, for the problem that the Bears have is that you have a quarterback who, in terms of the timeline of development, you're sitting there saying, man, when do we sign a contract extension with this guy? That's not even on it. We have to figure out whether we even keep this guy. So Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota were guys that obviously the teams kicked in their fifth-year option, wanted to see the full five-year window before committing to these guys. And the Bears are already there on Mitchell Trubisky. You're basically right in the middle of that five-year continuum, and they're already saying, man, we clearly missed a couple of franchise quarterbacks for sure. We don't know whether or not this guy is a franchise quarterback or even worthy of offering him a long-term deal. That's really troubling for the Chicago Bears. There's clearly some physical limitations there for Mitchell Trubisky, or at least some developmental limitations in terms of the passing game. Not a great place to be. Ask anyone in Tennessee and Tampa, and they'll tell you how frightening it is to consider ponying up a long-term deal for either Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston.
Listen, one last thought. What about Deshaun Watson, who I think the guy's still a really special player, but how worried would you be if you're a Texans fan if you've seen the team try as hard as it has to improve that offensive line, and Watson is still second in the league in sacks and fifth in hits?
Yeah, I've made this statement a couple of times. I think that you're going to break him. At some point, you're going to break this guy. Like, he cannot continue to pile up the number of hits that he's taking, the number of sacks that he's taking. It almost, you know, reminds you, going back far enough, when you go back and look at David Carr when he was the quarterback of the Texans and, you know, was the number one overall pick and just got absolutely slaughtered over the first 4 years of his career in terms of the number of hits and sacks that he took. And at some point with Deshaun Watson, you're going to see injuries come into play, whether it's concussions, whether it's, you know, God forbid, shoulder or knee injuries. Once those start to happen, you're changing the long-term future of your franchise. And I can't imagine, I don't know how much more they can invest into this offensive line before at some point someone looks at Bill O'Brien and says, we got to find a general manager or at least someone in terms of talent procurement who can fix this position. We have not been able to do it, and we do not want to destroy what should be a stellar 10-year career for this kid.
That's how you do it. Senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He's the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program. Can't put him on enough. Charles Robinson. Charles, great to have you, man. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure, Jim.
That was fun. Great job. Really good information. Gearing up for the rest of the hour, and we've got open phones right now. You can take and respond to any part of that if you want. 1-800-636-8686. Khalil Mack might not say it publicly. You know, he so badly wants to wreck John Gruden. He wants to make him pay for the things that Gruden said after he dealt him to Chicago. And I agree with Charles Robinson. I think that Khalil Mack still has a lot of friends on that team, but he doesn't like any of those guys as much as he hates the coach. And he'll be coming for the quarterback. That could get really, really ugly.